Well, turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're bringing a close this morning our study of Paul's final letter written to Timothy, his fellow worker, his kindred spirit. Paul writes from Rome. You know, he's about to be put to death. He has, because of his stand for Christ, and he's telling Timothy to come as quickly as possible. He writes to instruct, and he writes to encourage, and he writes to say, Timothy, come please as quickly as possible. And as we finish this morning, we're going to get the big picture. How can we as believers take a letter which was written about 2,000 years ago and then make application in our lives now? Well, we have the truth. We have truth of God's word that we're to know, that we're to apply, that we're to pass on. And so this morning, as we study the letter and put it together, may we see things that we can apply right now in our lives. Well, the truth is we need each other. We must have each other. In the United States, there's this idea of the old rugged individual. You know, we make it, and people say, I'm a self-made man. I read a quote the other day. A guy said, I'm a self-made man, but if I had to do it all over again, I think I'd get some help. And the truth is, that's the way we are. We look at our lives, and we say, I can't make it by myself. The truth is, every one of us need each other. When you think about the body of Christ, that's why he put us together in the body with different gifts, talents, and abilities, working together. We pray for each other. We build one another up. We bear one another's burdens. We equip one another. We serve one another. We love one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, one body with many members. In Ephesians 4, I love this passage. It says, it's the proper working of each individual part. Talking about each individual believer in the body of Christ, the proper working of each individual part, each one of us, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love, for the body of Christ to grow and the church to grow and the believers to grow. Each of us must be doing our part. I trusted Jesus Christ at 19. There have been many people in the body of Christ that God has used to help me. I always think of Coach Bob Tyler. He's my hero. He was my high school coach, but he also was the coach at Mississippi State when I went there. God used him. I think of Nap Clark. Most of you have heard me talk about Nap, and Ken Shepherd. Ken, both of them have been connected with us. Nap has passed away. Ken is still alive, and God used those men in my life. There are people in this room that I could even look at you, and God used you and has used you and has continued to use you to help me grow and to help me go on and make it as a believer. We cannot make it by ourselves. Cannot do it. We need each other. We need to encourage one another. As we bring a close to this letter, we're reminded of this relationship between Paul and Timothy. I love it because, you know, see, Paul was the older man and Timothy was the younger man. And Paul says that Timothy's my kindred spirit. He says, I've got nobody like him. Nobody else matches me in that same way, he says. We think of kindred spirits in our own lives. What people has God brought into our lives that match us, that help us, that are there? So this morning, as we close out the book, we're going to do two things. We'll quickly review verses 21 and 22, which we saw last week. And then we're going to get a big overview of 2 Timothy. And there are five key commands found in the letter. And I think there are things that we can make application from. And I've given you your bulletin has a place to write the five down, and you can do that. And we're going to talk through it. But as we begin, let's think about what's happened. Paul's in Rome writing to Timothy. He's about to be put to death. We're seeing his last words, his final instructions. He wants him to come as quickly as possible. We call this the closing. And look at verse 21. It says, make every effort to come before winter. And then he says, Eubulus greets you, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. And so he says, come, make every effort to come before winter. Why? Well, because first of all, it gets real cold in winter, okay? And Paul is in prison in a hole in the ground. And we know this, that at that day and time, when it got winter, the shipping lanes were closed. People didn't travel. So if he doesn't get there soon, he might not be able to get there at all. Until the spring, spring might be too late. And then he says, you know, back earlier, he said, be sure and bring the cloak when you come. So Paul's by himself. He didn't have anything to cover up with. And so he wants Timothy to get there before he dies. Have you ever thought about when Timothy got this letter? And he, of course, he read it to the body, read it, and he thought, I've got to get there. I have to get there before he dies. I have to get there. It's not like I can get a plane, I can be there tomorrow. It's not like I can get on a train, I can be there in a couple of days. There's no telling. It could take months to get there. It's according to how the weather, was the weather favorable? How could he make it? I mean, how could he do it? And so he says, I'm trying to get there as quickly as possible. He says these people greet him. And we don't know who these people are. We just know that they're listed in the Bible. And so one day when we get to heaven, Claudia will come up and say, do you see my name? My name was right there. Yeah, I was right there. Yeah, and we'd go, yeah, great. Look at the closing. I've talked about this, and we talked about it last week. He says, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. See, the first one's to Timothy. The Lord be with your spirit. And the second one is to the body. Grace be with you. And how do you know? See, in English, the word you, like I can say, I love you, Jean. And when I say that, you know, I say, I love you. I'm talking to her. But I also can say, I love you. And I'm talking to all of you. And it's the same word in our language, you and you. But in the Greek, it wasn't that way. And when Paul says, the Lord be with your spirit, it's singular in the Greek, the way it's written, and it's written to Timothy. And he's saying, the Lord be with your spirit. Because see, Timothy, if you read the letter and you've read it over and over, Timothy seemed to be a little timid. And that's why early in the letter, he said, you got to stand strong, Timothy. You got to make it strong. And so he says, may the Lord be with your spirit. And then as he closes, notice where he says, grace be with you. And that's plural. That's to all that read the letter. The emphasis on the grace of God. And so he says, Timothy, the Lord be with you. To everybody in the church, grace be with you. You know, grace is the emphasis. It's the grace is the emphasis of our lives. It's the grace is the emphasis all the way through the Bible. Think about it, grace for salvation. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. God in his grace so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus Christ, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. It's the grace of God. The Christian life is all the grace of God. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell in us, to empower us. He's given us the scripture. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us each other. It's all the grace of God. In the future, we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all the grace of God that one day he's going to come get us. So as we see this closing, these are the last words from Paul the Apostle, the servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think back about the letter. What are the truths and principles? What are the things we could apply? You know, I talked to you about trying to read the letter every week. There's, you know, it was only four. What I tried to do is I read it at least two times a week, the letter. I would just read it and read it and read it and read it and over. There's no telling how many times since we started the study that I read 2 Timothy. And I know it. I mean, I can tell you, okay, that's over here in chapter 2, and that's over here in chapter 3, and that's over here, because I know the letter. But what about the truths and what are the things that we saw as we went through this letter that we can apply in our lives even right now? I want you to remember something. Paul was amazing. He wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He traveled and he formed churches and did everything. You remember in around 60 AD, he got arrested, put in prison. He was in prison for 4 years and then finally released around 64, 65. He traveled again for a while until about 67 AD. And that's when he got arrested again and put in prison. And this is when he's going to die. He's already stood before the Caesar. Paul said earlier, at my first defense, nobody supported me. That's back in verse 16. He's already stood before the Caesar. All he's waiting for is the decision. And we know what the decision's going to be. And Paul knew what the decision was going to be. He's going to be put to death. He's going to be put to death because he stood for his faith of Jesus Christ. Well, he writes Timothy and says, get here before they kill me. And what can you and I take from this letter? Well, first of all, I just want you to think about the relationship. The relationship between Paul and Timothy, the apostle and his disciple. Think about those two guys. And you know, you think about Paul, the older, mature man who knew the scripture and who had been set apart by Jesus Christ, and Timothy, the young guy that he found who was on fire, and he said, I want you to come travel with me. I want you to be with me. And they just matched. And so when we think about it, here's a question to all of us in this room. Where's your Timothy? Where's your Paul? Where's your Timothy and where's your Paul? And think about this. Let's look at it this way. Where's your Timothy? Where is the person in your life that you're discipling, that you're helping to grow, that to whom you're passing on the truths, that you're equipping? We already know that we're supposed to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry at Ephesians 4:12. You know that as a believer, you're to be discipling younger people, helping others. So here, where is your Timothy? Who is the person that you're helping grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ? And the second question would be, where's your Paul? Where's the person that's helping you continue in the faith, that's encouraging you, that you're accountable to as you seek to become more and more like Jesus Christ? And you can think of Paul who discipled Timothy and Timothy who encouraged Paul and they went together. And let me tell you, all of us ought to have a Paul and all of us ought to have a Timothy as we encourage one another. So here's one thing you could do. Why don't you say, Lord, give me a Paul. give me somebody that I can begin to meet with that's maybe further down the road than I am, maybe a little further down, been a Christian maybe a little longer, maybe knows a little bit more things, someone that I can look to and that I can begin to meet with them, and we can talk Bible together and we can see truths and they can help me even grow further. And then pray that God will give you a Timothy, that somebody you can meet with and take the things you've learned and that you're learning, and you can meet with them and you can say, hey, let me show you something. You're going to love this, and that they can grow as well. So ask God for a Paul and ask God for a Timothy. Well, what about this letter? When I see this letter, here's what I think of immediately. I think of faithful to fulfill the ministry and faithful in the ministry. That's what I see. Paul is writing and he's talking about faithfulness and standing for the Lord. And we already know 1 Corinthians 4:2. It's required of stewards to be found faithful. And when we stand before Jesus Christ, we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the key. But as we look at this book, there are five commands that I went through and I thought, okay, these are five things that just stand out. And so I want us to look at them. We're just going to talk, briefly go through them, but I want them to encourage you. And there are commands, so I want you to think about, let's make application of these five things. So here's the first one. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, he says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Look what he says in verse 8. Therefore, he's writing to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. He says, do not be ashamed of the testimony. That means we're going to have to stand for Jesus Christ in a fallen world in which people make fun of some of the things we might believe. We're going to have to stand strong. We're going to have to stand strong for Jesus Christ in a fallen world. We've already seen in chapter 3, verse 1, realize that in this time, in the last days, difficult times will come. There's going to be trials. There's going to be problems. There's going to be ups and downs. You're in a fallen world. And it's going to be easy not to stand for Christ. In fact, it's very easy not to stand for Christ. But we're supposed to stand for him. Why? Because he is the only hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. You understand there's no other way for a person to have eternal life except through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So do not be ashamed of the stand for Jesus Christ, because he died and rose again. He is the Son of God. He paid for sin. He conquered death. He is the Savior. He is coming again. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we need to stand strong in a fallen world and be bold about telling people what we believe and what about our Savior. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 9. He was saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace. He has saved us, how he died and rose again and paid for our sins. And Ephesians says we're saved by grace through faith. He has saved us, but then it says he's called us into relationship with himself. And if you notice, it says he's called us with a holy calling. That means to live godly in a fallen world. See, recognize who we are. We're to stand for Jesus Christ. In fact, 2 Corinthians says we're ambassadors for Christ. And so when we come together on a Sunday morning, we're coming together to worship Jesus Christ and to be trained and equipped to serve him. And then we go out these doors and we're ambassadors for Christ. And we're not to be ashamed of who he is and what he's done and how we stand for him. And we tell people how there is one way to God, and that is Jesus Christ. Jonathan Edwards said this. He said, I resolve that all men should live for the glory of God. I resolve this, that whether others do or not, I will. Look at your life. Where do you stand? Do people know that we are Christians, that we know Jesus Christ is Savior? Do we stand for him in the school and in our jobs and in our communities? Are we different from the world in our work and our home and our activities? Are we different? May we not be ashamed of the testimony of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that we can apply. The second thing is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Notice what it says. It says, Timothy, the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others all. Also, the second thing is, let's teach the word of God to people. Let's teach each other. Let's take the truths from the Bible that we know, and let's make disciples, because that's what making disciples is leading people to Christ and then training them and equipping them. We know that the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came out and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Making disciples is evangelism and training. Let's take what we know and pass it on to others. We lead people to Christ and then train them and equip them. So here's a question. Who are you equipping? Who are you training? Where are you taking what you know, what you've been taught, what you've studied, what you've put together, and training them? We have we talk about our purpose and our plan. Our plan is Ephesians 4:12, equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So who are you equipping? Who are you teaching? Herb Vanderlust, who's with Radio Bible Class, says there are many people who attend church and live decent lives, but they're so conformed to the world, they neither impress or offend anyone. We got to stand for Christ, and we got to take what we know and pass it on to others. Pray that God would give you, as I said a while ago, a Timothy, someone you can take truth and help them understand it. So here's the question. Who are you teaching and training? So first, he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Savior. Second, he says, teach others the Bible. Here's the third one. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says, study the word. Look at 2:15. He says, be diligent and present yourself to God as approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of God. The word be diligent, sometimes it's translated study. It's the idea of digging the word. We're to study the Bible. And so the third command is for every one of us in this room that you dig the scripture. You get into it. You handle accurately the word of God. You know what you believe and why you believe it. You understand how the word of God fits together. You know, it is so important. Just turn over to chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Look what he says. Continue. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and been convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. He says, keep studying. Continue in the things you've learned. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Look down at verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be mature, adequate, equipped for every good work. He says, you have to know the scripture. You have to study it. I love it when we have these classes we have on Wednesday nights we call SBI, which is Stillwater Bible Institute. We have people coming in there, and, you know, we have tests, and we teach. I mean, it's like classes, and we're digging the scripture. And I love it when people come in, and they say things like, man, I'm learning things. I've never seen this before. This is so exciting. We had a person the other day come to me, and here's what they said. They said, I've been in this class for 5 weeks, and I learned more in 5 weeks than I learned in my entire life as a Christian up to these 5 weeks. We got to get into the scripture. We got to dig it. We got to understand it. Do you know what you believe and why? Can you defend the fact that Jesus Christ is God? Can you go to the scripture and show where Jesus Christ is God? Can you show that salvation is by faith alone? It's a gift, faith alone in Christ alone. Can you show from the scripture that once you trust in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life and you're secure forever? Can you show that the Bible is God's word? Can you show what our role is to make disciples? Do you understand the purpose of the local body? Do you know how the end time events fit together? These are all things that we as believers need to know and have a big idea an understanding of. That's why last fall we taught in the Grow group, we taught the end time events or the seven last things in the book of Revelation. We want people to understand these truths. You may say, I kind of want to get into all this. Well, you take an SBI class, get into a Grow group, get into a Bible study, get your own personal study, be ready to understand the scripture and then pass it on to others. So what does he say? Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Savior. Take what you've been taught, pass it on to others. He says you got to dig the word so you can know it. Here's the fourth one, and it's found in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. And look what he says. He says, now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. He says, live righteously as those who belong to Jesus Christ. And he gives us the positive and the negative. The negative is flee lust. Flee that stuff that's pulling us away from God and pursue positive. Go after righteous living. Live righteously by faith with love and peace. Live righteously and godly in this present age. You and I must decide how we're going to live. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, he says, stop letting sin reign in your life. Stop letting it rule. Stop obeying the flesh. Shall we live in righteously in a fallen world? Bruce Wilkinson wrote Through the Bible. He worked with Through the Bible Ministries. He wrote a number of books. But he says this. He says, habits are like corks or lead. They can either lift you up or drag you down. Here's something I see. Good habits are difficult to start and easy to break. But bad habits are easy to start and difficult to break. And it's so easy if you're not careful to develop bad habits. We want to develop the good habits. We want to study the Bible. We want to know it. We want to understand it. We want to live it out. If only we could grasp the fact that with God, there are no little things. John Calvin talked about man's response when they encountered God, and he quoted Habakkuk. What did Habakkuk do when he saw God? Habakkuk said, "I heard my heart pounding, my lips quivered, decay crept through my bones, and my legs trembled." That's when he saw God. Isaiah, when he saw God, he said, "Woe is me, for I am a ruined man. I am a man of unclean lips." Both Daniel and John fainted when they came into the presence of the Lord. Do we realize the holiness of our God and that we've got to pursue righteousness? Christians must live in the world, but not let the world live in them. I always quote Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and stop being conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind." If you're not consciously being transformed by the word of God, you will unconsciously be conformed to this world. That's just the way it is. And if you're not consciously putting God's word in your brain and growing and living according to the scripture, unconsciously you're being shaped by this world. And that's what we find. And so we've got to consciously decide we're going to live righteously and godly. That's going to cost you. Because we already know in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says, anybody who desires to live godly will be persecuted. When you stand for Jesus Christ in a fallen world, you're going to be persecuted. There's one more. One more that I want us to see. And here's what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he says, preach the word. Notice, he says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. He says, you got to proclaim the word. And we say preach the word, it's not just me behind the pulpit proclaiming the scripture. It means that all of us are proclaiming the truths of the scripture to other people. We got to be faithful to do that. We get to announce the truth. Remember what discipleship is? It's evangelism and training. We proclaim the truths of salvation, knowing the gospel, and then we proclaim the truths of the Bible as we grow in scripture and grow the Bible. That's the key. You might say, well, I don't know. Well, here's my questions. If it's not you to teach the word, who is it? And if it's not now, when will we do it? And if it's not here, where are we going to do it? When are we going to come to the point to say, we're going to live by the scripture, we're going to proclaim the scripture, we're going to help people understand the scripture, we're going to help people grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? That's why Peter said, be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. So as we look at 2 Timothy, we see these things. He says, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Stand for Jesus Christ. He says, take what you've been taught, teach others. That's making disciples. He says, study the word so you know what you believe and why. He says, live righteously, fleeing the lust and pursuing righteousness. And he says, preach the word. Tell people about salvation. Tell people about the Christian life and be ready to give an answer. And we want to be like Paul. What did he say? I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. And that's what we want to do. We want to get to the end of our lives and we don't know when it's going to be. It could be any second. Jesus Christ could come back any second, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him. Your life will be over on this earth. You don't know how long you're going to live. We have the privilege and the responsibility to represent Jesus Christ. So let me give you the applications as we close. Let's thank God for our fellow believers. Think about the Timothys and the Pauls that have been in your life, and God put them in your life, and their kindred spirits. And listen, I could name for you at least three different people who got, right now in my life, right now, that God is using to help me. Three people. Three different people. And so the question would be, where's your Paul? Where's your Timothy? Let me tell you this. If somebody's helped you in the past, or somebody helping you now, you've heard me do this before, I'd say, get a little card. Write them. Write them this week and say, I just want to thank you for always being there, for being my friend, for being somebody to help me grow, for being somebody to encourage me in the ministry. You remember Ephesians 4:16, it's the proper working of every individual part causes the growth of the body. So where is your Paul? Where is your Timothy? If you don't have them, pray for them. Pray, Lord, give me one. Give me one of each. And then let's be faithful to fulfill our ministry. Bill Hybels, I like Bill Hybels. He said, you know, at Indy Speedway, 33 cars start the most famous race in the world, and they all have hopes that they want to finish the race, but you realize that in most of the time, only about half the cars make it to the end. And so here's the question for the race of the Christian life. Are you going to be faithful to the end? Will we fight the fight? Will we finish the course? Will we keep the faith? How? We got to stand for Jesus Christ in a fallen world. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. We got to make disciples so we invest our lives in others. We got to take what we know and entrust it to others. We got to know the word, give an answer. We got to be ready to give an answer. We got to study to show ourselves approved. We got to be holy, fleeing lust and pursuing righteousness. And last but not least, we got to preach the word, proclaim the word, tell people about salvation, tell people about growth. We got to be the ones to do it. Every one of us in this room, this is for each of us. It's not just for a select few. It's for every believer. Charles Wesley put it this way, a little poem. He said, soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. Stand strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus' trust is more than a conqueror. May we be faithful to fulfill the ministry that God has for us. May we stand for Christ. May we teach others. May we know the word. May we live righteously. And may we proclaim the truths of the gospel and the Bible in our community.